You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Pinehurst is in between horses. Papa Cap is down at the rail. Giant Game is sent up four wide, midway on the far turn. After that, it's Double Thunder and Barossa. Corniche coming to the top of the stretch with the lead of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And Giant Game is closing on the outside. Now moving up right alongside of Corniche as they come to the final furlong. Corniche with something left. Giant Game off the rail. Papa Cap trying to split those two, but it's Corniche. He's just too good. Corniche wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then it was Papa Cap in second. Giant Game was third. Command Performance fourth.
Larry Colmus with the call of this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile is heard on NBC Sports and right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome to this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer. This is the segment where we debate and share opinions on some of racing's hottest topics and even a few that have absolutely nothing to do with racing. And as always, I welcome two guys who are never shy with an opinion. That is trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. Guys, happy to have you on board today. I guess we'll start with the first Kentucky Derby future wager pool, which wraps up this weekend. No horse trained by Bob Baffert being offered among the individual betting interests. That, of course, includes Corniche, who is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner and the Winter Book favorite, but they are included in the all other three-year-olds category of that wager. So I will ask you, is it fair to put Corniche and the other Baffert runners into the all others category, or should Churchill have left them out of the wagering altogether until a final decision regarding Baffert is made? Timmy, you want to kick it off for us this week?
Sure, Mike. I don't know what to make of all this. I mean, if you're going to kick them out, kick them out. If you're not going to kick them out, don't kick them out. It just makes no sense to me why it seems like they're just stringing him along after saying he wasn't going to be able to be involved with the Derby for 2 years. But now you're putting his horses into the also eligible list. It makes no sense to me. Unless they're hedging their bets in case, the tests come back and it doesn't go as a positive. You know, it just makes no sense to me what Churchill's doing with this.
Dale?
Absolutely ridiculous. It's not very well thought out. They kicked him out too quick, too early. Should have let due process take its course. And if you're going to put up a poll, put the horse in there, and everybody in the public knows there's a chance he won't get in without 8 points. Let them bet accordingly. Maybe it'd be a higher price. But, you know, historically, the all others goes off the favorite in the first couple of pools anyway. So it's just going to make it overwhelming favorite.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. With those horses included, it's going to be an overwhelming favorite. But I kind of agree, guys. I don't see how, if you're going to include them in the all others category, just include them in the body of the field, too. And as Dale said, let people bet accordingly or leave them out altogether.
It's kind of ridiculous. When you start using the Kentucky Derby as a weapon, there's all kinds of problems going to follow. I mean, it's the sacred jewel that we have in our game, and they have a major responsibility to take care of it. And I think they're doing a poor job. Whenever you start using it as a weapon, you can have a weapon used back against you.
And I've said this before, and, you know, Bob has been the face of horse racing for a long time, and he's not getting any kind of a fair trial right now. I mean, how long ago was it when Churchill Downs kicked him out? It was right after the Derby, right? After this thing all started. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And the people that are just piling on now on social media, and I've said this before, they're trying him on social media, and that's not fair either.
Yeah, I'm sick of all the trolls and haters and everything. Let due process run its course. Everybody was on Bob Baffert's bandwagon for the last 30 years. And now they see blood in the water, they go after him. It's really ridiculous. And, I mean, if he's guilty, he's guilty. I'm not defending him, but it's bad testing him. But I am defending due process for him or anybody else.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this question. If Corniche was in the body of the field, which, you know, if you're going to have him in here, let's put him in the body of the field and let people bet on him as an individual interest. Would you bet on him now, knowing what's surrounding that horse?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, he's going to run in the Derby. If he gets points, I mean, if he gets is healthy at that time, he'll be in the Kentucky Derby. I'm going out on a limb and stating that for a fact. I think he will be in one way or another. You might know take something? A lot of legal wrangling, but he'll be in there.
We know that, Dale, we know you're the mayor of Churchill Downs. You know something we don't know?
No, nothing at all. I just know that you want to run the Kentucky Derby without the best horse in the country in the race? I don't know.
Maybe well, I agree with that.
Yeah. Of course, he still has to get points. Down?
I mean,
yeah, he still has to get points.
I hope one of mine gets in there and he's not in there. But, you know, for the history and for the race, you got to have the best 22-year-olds in the country running.
Yep. He still has to get points. He still has to stay healthy between now and then and stay on track. That certainly will play into this, too. We'll see how it all plays out. Now, all right.
He may not be trained by Bob Baffert for his next start. Who knows?
That's true, too. Yeah, that's true, too. The owners are going to have some decisions to make as to what they do with that horse if they are going to point for the Kentucky Derby. All right. Second topic. It involves the Derby, but a little different angle here, guys. Ed DeRosa, who has spent several years as co-host of our Brisnet call-in show here on the network, he tweeted recently that he loves the Kentucky Derby point system, and he stated that it's much better to have Churchill Downs in control of the prep races as opposed to leaving them in the hands of the Graded Stakes Committee. So with 161 days until the Run for the Roses next year, is the point system fine just the way it is, or if not, what changes would make it better? Dale?
I like the old system of money gets you in for several reasons. I think if you go back and look, there are very few horses that wouldn't have gotten in on the old system. It basically gets you the same group of 20 horses, but it gives you opportunity to prep one on grass, which I did twice with two horses running third in the Derby. And it also puts the fillies into play where, you know, even if they don't run, I always thought it was interesting every year to have discussion on whether or not Rachel Alexander should be running in the Kentucky Derby or the Oaks. They've taken all that out of it. And now, just like the last topic we had, we gave them more power to use the Derby as a weapon. On the old system, they couldn't control the points. I don't believe it's right for Churchill to control everything. I think you should, and it's not up to the Graded Stakes Committee. What's the difference? They're all Graded Stakes. It was Graded Stakes earnings anyway. They don't have points on any non-Graded Stakes. So I think the old system was fine. I think there's flaws in the point system.
Timmy?
Well, yeah. This thing came out, the point system started, 2012? And then it took out some of the, you know, no more sprint races. You know, it puts a big emphasis on later races of the year to get the points. And I think it, I'm not a trainer, but I'm sure it changes the way that a horseman gets his horse ready for the first Saturday in May. And this isn't going to change, you know, it's not going to change which horse is the top point getter, graded stakes earner. You know, it's not, those horses are going to be in there anyway. But this is just, to me, it seems like you get these horses, it just takes a little bit of the human element out of it, of how the horsemen train these horses. And, you know, it's... Under this system, would mind that bird have gotten in 2009? I'm not sure. You look at some of these horses that they're still upset horses that win the Derby. The last three horses that won the Kentucky Derby were not the favorite, including Country House, who won via DQ at 65-1. I mean, I think that the Graded Stakes was fine the way it was, but I can see why they do it the way they do it with the points. I mean, it's only going to really affect the last couple horses that get in anyway with the point system.
Right.
They do the points just to have control. They used it as a weapon once before against Hawthorne when they were in a beef in Chicago between Arlington and Hawthorne over something. They took away the points for the Illinois Derby. I mean, it's too much power in their hands. They want to control everything and use the Derby has leverage over everybody else in all other racetracks.
Dale, has the point system changed the way that you prepare and approach prep races?
It took away some of my options. Like I said before, Patty Alprado and Dullahan, both third in the Derby, had prepped twice on turf during the winter and went over and then ran into bluegrass and got some more dirt money and ended up getting in. You can't do that in today's world.
Yeah. All right.
It does put a lot more emphasis on the later races too. And really the last round's the only mile and eighth races that you have to accumulate those kind of points if you've got a horse that wants to go that far.
Yeah, and those later races are winning your ends.
Yeah. If you have a horse that's on the bubble, so to speak, and he's a major contender, and if he doesn't run big in this last prep race, he's out of luck.
Yep, he'd be out of luck, and it could be a contender. But I don't think if you go back and look at who's gotten in, who hadn't gotten in, I don't think it's changed a whole lot. But it does put a lot more power into one place's hands.
Yep. All right, moving on. Topic number three, and this involves a couple of the top jockeys in the game today. Thoroughbred Racing Commentary sent out their weekly update on global rankings for horses, trainers, owners, sires, and jockeys. There are two American-based riders in the top five of the jockey standings globally. Joel Rosario, who ranked number three in the world, and Flavien Prat ranked number four. Did that poll get this right? Are Joel and Flavien the top two riders in America today?
You asked me the other day which rider I would pick if I was going to go into one major race, and my answer was Joel. I haven't been around Flavien enough to make the call. He's written a couple for me, and I've been real happy with him. But who cares? I said this before. Who cares about polls? Somebody's opinion. Who's going to tell you what? There's so many great riders in this country and in this game and in the world. So many great trainers and great horses. This is again. We don't need polls. Line them up, and let's all see who's the best.
Timmy.
Dale used to be the commissioner of racing, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm ready to be, but I think polls and all this stuff is for you, the media, to have something to write about and talk about and argue about.
Well, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a job, right?
Exactly.
We wouldn't have this segment.
What do you mean I don't?
you don't have your Times Union anymore.
Well, I got it, but it's just I'm on sabbatical.
Right, there you go. All right.
but as far as the poll goes, I mean, yeah, it is a list. The Thoroughbred Commentary, they're based in Europe, and I read and Louis Saez are in their top 10. I mean, Joel's having a season for the ages. I mean, he's with the 49 graded stakes wins he's got. I mean, I don't know if he's going to catch Jerry Bailey at 55, but Joel Rosario is, if I was a trainer and I had to have a go-to win, I think I'd put him on the horse right now, just the way he's riding. He's just so.
Well, three weeks ago, he went with Iran.
Well, it's 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
All of a sudden, Arad's been in the slump for 3 weeks, right?
You see what I mean about polls?
That's what us media people do, Dale. I'm gonna start a poll about how many Christmas presents Dale Romans is going to buy this year.
Right. It's going to be a hell of a lot more than he receives.
But as far as Flavien Prat, I think that, he deserves to be on the list, which Dale hates, but he's a guy that, a lot of people really don't know that much about. He's only been riding here in the U.S. on a regular basis since 15. And, he's become a go-to rider in out west. He's got a bunch of riding titles at Del Mar, but he's not in the household name, if you will, category like maybe Joel and my old friend Irad and Jose Ortiz, Luis Saez. But I think that if you're going to have these polls, which Dale hates, I guess they did get it right.
All right. Final topic for today. Again, you can listen to I Ask, They Answer every single weekend here. 10:30 Eastern is when we kick it off on the Equine Forum. If you miss them, head back to our website and check out the podcast of each of these segments. They have been really informative. All right. Final segment, and it involves Gulfstream's championship meet, which begins on Friday. Trainer Safi Joseph Jr. comes into the meet with a ton of momentum, having just captured the fall meet title and the spring summer meet title before that. Safi finished 8 wins behind Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher at last year's championship meet. Of course, Pletcher recorded his 18th title for the championship meet last year. He's been unstoppable. Joseph was quoted in an article this week, guys, as saying the championship meet is Todd's meet, Last year we were pretty close, but we didn't have as many horses as we have this year. I think we can give him a run for his money. What are the chances Safi Joseph Jr. walks away with the championship meet training title this year?
He's got a solid chance. He wins a lot of races. But I will say one thing, Todd Pletcher will walk away with the money title. So it'll be about show me the money. I don't think he's as concerned about the number of wins anymore as he is winning the big ones, and he'll win all the big ones down there. He's a powerhouse getting stronger all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Todd is he's Mr. Gulfstream, just like he's Mr. Saratoga with when he, you know, he wins all those meet titles. It was almost shocking to some people a couple of years ago when Chad Brown started his run and knocked Todd off. Can Safi Joseph do it? Yeah, why not? I mean, he actually started more horses than Todd during last year's winter meet. But you know, it's also like, I don't want to say liken this to the JVs trying to take on the varsity. And I'm not saying that Safi's a JV trainer, but the analogy is that, you know, he's got to step it up a little bit, and, you know, he's got more horses, but Todd's got a bunch of horses, and Todd's quality has usually always been more than Safi's. But, you know, Safi's a good horseman, and he's going to get his share of wins. Does he have enough in his barn to knock off Todd? I don't know about that, but if I was going to do a poll on this, I think I'd put Todd on top. What about you, Dale?
Yeah, I'll put him on top anyway, but I will. He's way on top. I mean, Safi could win the title for winning the most races, but Todd will win the title for winning the races.
You know, Dale, that's an interesting point, because we so often, you know, there's press releases that are sent out after every meet at racetracks, and they say, oh, so-and-so was the leading trainer, so-and-so was the leading owner, so-and-so was the leading jockey. What do trainers covet more? Is it that leading trainer title by number of wins, or would they much rather finish second or third in the standings and walk away with more money?
Well, I'd speak for myself. I think earlier in my career, training titles were very important. They got less and less important. And I'm sure same with Todd, and more important about trying to win the right races and develop the right horses. And you start thinking about your legacy a little more. And I think that more, you'll be remembered more for big races than multiple races.
But isn't it more important, though, to also put money in your pocket, too?
That's the big races. Show me the money.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Again, that championship meet kicking off on Friday. Todd Pletcher, Safi Joseph, both going to be loaded and coming down there with the best horses, as will Dale Romans. Dale, looking forward to your horses strutting their stuff at Gulfstream, my friend.
Yeah, we're going to have a good winter. I think we had a great fall and some good two-year-olds coming on to beat three. We're just going to be a fun winter.
All right, we'll see if Dale Romans can dethrone Todd Pletcher. What do you think?
I don't think so. Not a number of wins. So, you know, right, Todd won his first race. Who he beat in his first time he ever won a race, where he beat me. I see he's been beating me from the very beginning. His first race, I ran second.
Maybe this will be the winter of Romans.
Who knows?
I like that, the winter of Romans.
All right.
Well, Dale, we'll talk to you next week. Timmy, we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate the time, guys. I ask, they answer. We'll do it all over again. 10:30 Eastern time next Saturday. Fun stuff.